Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
The PBP, Voices of Baseball, is a podcast about the art and craft of play-by-play, and we're in the middle of an amazing season. Catch up on episodes with Joe Buck, Joe Davis, Pat Hughes, and more, and learn along with me, Matt Spiegel, how the job is done.
It's not just home run Bryce Harper in the Phillies lead. To really do it justice, you got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The PBP, Voices of Baseball. I bring you the people who bring you the game. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One hour down in the hump show, middle show of the work week, though it's a weird week for me. Working the middle three shows here on After Hours, but then on Friday, I will be on the noon Pacific show, following Jim Rome, actually, here on CBS Sports Radio. It'll be noon Pacific, 3 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern. And, you know, it's kind of a bummer. I think it's a great challenge for any host to get out of their comfort zone now and then. And so I will, of course, accept the challenge and approach it as I do our show here on the overnights. But what stinks about it is that my Friday doesn't begin until 6 o'clock Eastern time when the show is done. And then I have to battle the traffic, the people, the mass transit system to get back home to A, Penny, and B, my dinner plan. So I was not expecting to have to wait until 7:30, 8 o'clock to eat dinner. Listen to me. First world problems. I get it. Radio host problems. I totally get it. But that's where you can find me coming up on Friday, noon Pacific, after Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio, 3 o'clock Eastern. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And you can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We've got our show Twitter humming along, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page, too. That comes up next hour here on The Hump Show. Before we welcome our guest, I don't even want to call him a guest anymore. He's one of those familiars, one of those favorites here on the show that we just ask him to kind of come in and make himself at home. When you invite people over, friends, family members, you don't need to treat them as guests. You just tell them to help themselves, and they can even take off their shoes and put their feet up if that's what they want to do. So that's how we treat our favorites here on the show. But before that, we have to give a proper introduction.
Betts lines one into left field, and it's going to drop in for a base hit. Rounding third on his way home is Outman. The throw is cut off. The RBI single for Betts, and the Dodgers with five in the bottom of the sixth now lead 6-1.
Oh, Mookie Betts seems to be in the center of pretty much everything these days with the Dodgers, and that's how it's been since he joined the team. Freddie Freeman, he's having one heck of a season again, too. The starting rotation appears to be more stable now, and don't look, but the Dodgers have won 9 straight and are at least within shouting distance of the Braves for best record in the National League. That's Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio. And that is the introduction for our friend Michael Duarte from NBC LA, who joins us here on the show. Michael, it's always good to hear your voice. How are you?
It's always good to hear you too, Amy. Us night owls, you know, when we have to wake up early, like you said, those first world problems. It's like when I have to cover a 9 a.m. day game on the road or something covering the Dodgers. I get that feeling. I get your pain on that.
Mm. Why do you sound like you're in the next room?
I'm not sure. I plugged in a microphone to try to call to do this over a microphone. So hopefully I would sound better
Impressive.
Than when we do this over the telephone.
Yeah, so, it sounds like you're in the next studio.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So when your listeners listening live or tomorrow, maybe I'll come in more clearly than normal.
Oh, you definitely do. That's impressive. Are you at home?
Yeah, I'm at home and I get no cell phone service here. So we got to do this over Wi-Fi. So I'm calling the studio over Wi-Fi. And I was like, hey, I have this brand new microphone. Let's plug it in and test it out.
Ooh, you need to send me the specs of that microphone because I've been needing to buy one myself to plug into my laptop. And yours is giving us the type of quality sound that sounds as though you're in the studio. It's awesome.
Done. I will send it to you.
Thank you.
I got it on Amazon, so you'll love it.
Nice. Michael Duarte is an NBC Sports LA insider and also an LA native, and he is our go-to for all things Los Angeles sports. Right now, the Dodgers, yet again, are lighting it up. 9 consecutive wins. When did they hit this group? How did they start to surge, Mike?
Yeah, I'm glad you phrased that question exactly as you did. So a couple things. First, the last time I came on the show, I think it was like right around the All-Star break, right before the All-Star break, I told you of any team in the NL West that you'd want to be coming out of that All-Star break, it would be the Dodgers. It was the strength of schedule that was a little bit lighter for them. They were getting healthy again. And I just felt like some teams like the Diamondbacks and Giants, they just wouldn't be able to keep up the pace. And obviously, they're kind of dropping like flies here. But to the moment that you speak of, July 21st, it was an off day for the Dodgers. They were in Dallas, Texas. They were going to play the Rangers the following day. And Max Muncy decided to have a two-year-old birthday party for his two-year-old daughter, Sophia, and he wanted his whole team in attendance. Even Corey Seager, former Dodger, now on the Rangers, showed up for this party. And it was a two-year-old's birthday party complete with cupcakes and princesses and everything you could imagine. But every single player on the Dodgers showed up. They bonded over this moment. Many players have told me privately that was just a very connecting moment because it wasn't just for them as players, like when they're on the bus or when they're on the planes and the flights and the road trips. It was their whole families together for this. They pointed to that day as just a kind of changing thing where they all kind of came together and had that camaraderie. And then also, I can tell you, that was the moment the Freddie dance celebration was born. They were all laughing at Freddie Freeman's dance from the Dodgers gala that Usher performed at a little bit recently, and they were making fun of his dance there at the little girl's birthday party, the two-year-old birthday party, and they decided that if Freddie was to hit a double or whatever, he would do the dance, and sure enough, the next day, he had the first extra base hit. He had a double. He did the dance, and the rest is history. So that was a moment where they kind of came together. But now they've won 13 to 14, 9 straight, like you said. Clayton Kershaw's back. That was a guy we talked about last time about when he would come back. That would help bolster the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. This bullpen and starting pitching staff had one of the worst stretches in July that we've ever seen, but they've just completely turned it around in August. You look at some of these trade deadline moves that Andrew Friedman made, addressing the holes, Lance Lynn, addressed the fact that they only had, you know, last time we talked, we were talking about they had no starting pitching. Nobody
right.
from the original opening day starting rotation had not been hurt throughout the season. So Lance Lynn is a guy that can come out there, go deep in games. He's been pitching well. He's 3-0 since he came to the Dodgers. They addressed another weakness, and that was their ability to hit against left-handed pitching. They add an old friend in Kike Hernandez, who's just completely turned his season around. He told me also privately, Amy, he didn't know how badly he needed to hear the roar of the Dodger Stadium crowd again to get him going. He's a guy that needs the juices flowing to be able to perform and play high at a high level, and he's getting that. And then Ahmed Rosario, another guy that just mashes against left-handed pitching. He's been very successful. And then another under-the-radar kind of move. Obviously, they got Joe Kelly, another former Dodger, but they got Ryan Yarbrough. That was a guy that they played against when he was on the Rays in the World Series in 2020, but he's been quietly unhittable out of the bullpen, and he pitched a 3-inning save today, the first of his career. So these are the reasons, but that July 21st birthday party for Max Muncy's two-year-old daughter is when they told me everything kind of changed from there.
Interesting what can make a difference, especially for a veteran group of guys who certainly have all the experience and the ability. It just wasn't clicking. And then getting healthy, critical too. Bobby Miller has another win for the Dodgers tonight. How would you describe his contribution to this rotation when they desperately needed it?
Yeah, obviously he was part of that group of rookies that we had talked about last time, him and Emmett Sheehan. Michael Grove is another guy that they needed to go call upon that depth in the minor leagues because guys in the opening day rotation went down and they needed them to step up. But the difference here is you don't hear the name Michael Grove and Emmett Sheehan anymore. Those guys are back in AAA Oklahoma City. The one guy that has proven that he has the staying power and maybe that big league stuff is Bobby Miller. And one thing that impressed me about his start today, obviously a one hitter over 6 innings, really just got jumped on the first pitch of the game seeking a fastball. But he was still touching 100, 101 in that sixth inning. That's stuff that, like, Justin Verlander used to do, right? You know, you start pumping in triple digits to start the game, that kind of heat. But then he could come back and do it in the seventh inning. And to see Bobby Miller still touch triple digits late in that game in the sixth inning, that was really impressive to see. He's had a little bit of a roller coaster debut here in his rookie season. Obviously, he came out of the gates facing the Yankees and the Braves and the Giants, you know, big games for the Dodgers, and he performed well at that level. But then he kind of started to get beat up a little bit. He proved he could be rocky. He proved he could kind of be unraveled if you got him nervous or if you got him upset a little bit. He seemed to calm down. He told me tonight after the game that the key to his success is getting the first batter of every inning out. And in order to do that, he needs to throw first pitch strikes. And he says, when I can get the first batter of the inning out, it kind of calms me down and I'm able to get through it. So this is a guy that I think the Dodgers are going to rely upon heavily here. And I also think, as we talked about the last time on your show, Walker Buehler, who just faced hitters for the first time last week, he's getting closer and closer to a return. I would say by the end of this month, you might see him out on a rehab assignment of his choosing. And then he could join the team sometime first week, middle of September. That's going to be a guy that's not going to be all the way ramped up to like 5-6 innings. But if he can give you 3-4 innings on top of a 3-4, 4-5 innings from Bobby Miller, that's a game right there. That's 27 outs. And those are two guys who are very similar in their approach, very similar in high-speed velocity fastballs. So that could be a piggyback situation that we could look for once Walker Buehler gets healthy.
Michael Duarte from NBC LA. After the Dodgers win their ninth straight and now are running away with the NL West, as he points out, the rest of the division has really taken a step back, if not flat out collapsed. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dodgers have these two incredible athletes and incredible, MVPs, both of them at the top of their lineup with Mookie and with Freddie Freeman. If you had to make a case for Freddie as MVP right now, how would you do it, Mike?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. And you know what's interesting, because we thought Ronald Acuna Jr. was going to run away with this MVP race on the Braves, and, mm-hmm. and now it seems Matt Olson has kind of said something about that, leading the entire league in home runs. So you have two potential MVP candidates on the Braves, and you have two on the Dodgers in Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts. But I think what I would say with Freddie Freeman is, I think he's going to end up leading the league in doubles. He's going to end up breaking the Dodgers franchise record in doubles this season. His batting average is another claim that you could say could put him in the MVP category, but his defense as well also. Now, I know Acuna's got the stolen bases. Freddie's not as fleet as foot as Ronald Acuna Jr. is, but he's got some stolen bases this year as well. So to me, it's just kind of impact on the team. And when the entire team celebrates big hits, RBIs, extra base hits, home runs by doing the Freddie dance, I think that just tells you how valuable he is to this team and how consistent he has been and how he's been able to take some of the younger guys like James Outman, who's also maybe making a case for Rookie of the Year in the National League, how he's taken those guys under their wing and made them better major league players.
Mm. Mookie is such a great personality. He's had some pretty impressive moments. The long ball especially has been an advantage and a weapon for him this year. But that's not why I'm bringing him up. Did you hear him tell the story of a fan who named his daughter partly after Mookie and keeping a promise?
Yes. If you didn't bring it up, I would have brought it up on
good.
This show.
Tell us the story.
So I was unaware of it in real time, even though I was there. But it wasn't until Mookie brought it up on his social media, and I'm glad that he did, that we got to hear this story. So I'm trying to remember the date, but a couple weeks back, Mookie was in the on-deck circle, and he was talking to a fan, and the fan said, you know, you're my favorite player, and my wife is pregnant, and if you hit a home run right now, I'm going to name my daughter after you. And Mookie was saying, even if I do hit a home run, don't do that. Don't do that. And he's like, why? And he's like, trust me, I'm married. You happy wife, happy life. You don't want to name, you don't want to have your wife be upset with you by naming your daughter after me. And he's like, hold on, let me get her on the phone. So he gets her on the phone.
Gosh.
And he's telling her on the phone, I'm making a bet with Mookie that if he hits a home run here, then we're going to name the middle name of the daughter after Mookie Betts. And so Mookie goes up in the batter's box and he hits the longest home run as a Dodger just crushes it. It was like 480 feet or something like that. Unbelievable shot. And then as he rounds the bases, he points to the fan, he goes and gives him a fist bump. And I don't think he ever thought it was going to happen. But sure enough, the fan's name, Giuseppe Mancuso, he posted on his social media and tagged Mookie and said, "A bet is a bet." And he posted the birth certificate, in which his daughter's name is now Francesca Mookie Mancuso.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Betts made sure on his social media today to shout that guy out. And he said, "That's going to be my girl, Francesca," because she's got the middle name of Mookie. So that's pretty cool that Mookie does that. And I don't know the fan. Obviously, he had great seats to be able to make this bet. But it's pretty interesting what they do. You know, there's another famous bet that happened in the exact same place at Dodger Stadium, and that was the bet with Manny Machado on his entire $300 million contract that the Padres would win the World Series before the Dodgers. I don't think he's paid that up.
Michael Duarte is with us from LA here on CBS Sports Radio. And the Dodgers are a lot of fun right now. We'll see how it works the rest of the way. But be careful, thinking back to the beginning of the season, those of you who are so quick to bury them because they have staying power for a lot of reasons, the wisdom, the experience, but also the talent. I mean, they may not have spent a ton of money in the offseason, but they certainly have spent money on the lineup, and they are no slouches. Mike, we're asking our listeners on this edition of the show to fill in the blank about the upcoming NFL season. The season will be a success if what? How would you fill in the blank for the Rams?
So we're just talking about the Rams here?
Well, you can talk about any team, but since you cover the Rams, I'm asking you about the Rams right now.
Yeah, so to fill in the blank as if we were the Rams, for the season to be a success for the Rams, I think they just get into the postseason. I know internally, talking with Les Snead, Sean McVay, that's not necessarily the goal. They're looking at potentially next season, 2024, with a younger, talented roster they can build around and potentially more flexibility and cap space, depending on what the Matthew Stafford situation is. But I think this team, if they can stay healthy, as we've said, if the offensive line can stay healthy, has a fringe chance at a wild card spot. And if they can get there, I think that's a very successful season for them after the horrific season they had last season after winning the Super Bowl. I believe it was the worst follow-up season for a Super Bowl champion in NFL history. So to follow that up with a better than 500 season and a potential NFC wild card, I think that's a success for the Rams this year.
Is there another team that you would like to highlight? Would you like to fill in the blank about the Chargers?
Yeah, that was the next one I was going to go for. For the Chargers now, they actually, a successful season is not just going to the playoffs. It's actually winning a playoff game. And I think for them, if they could reach the AFC championship game, that would be a success for them, not necessarily to win the Super Bowl. But this team needs to show that they can make that next step. Obviously, they extended Justin Herbert, so he's the quarterback of the future, and they're building around him. And now they need to prove that they can not only get to the playoffs, and not have the biggest collapse in playoff history, but they can win those games and make a run. And that's what the Chargers need to prove here. And after they just played the Rams in that first preseason game, even though it's meaningless, and the Rams and Sean McVay, they never play the starters, the Chargers did make a little bit of a statement there with that 34-17 victory.
Hmm. What tells you now about the Chargers that, other than extending Justin Herbert, that they can put it together and change the culture, change the narrative around this team the way it's been for so many years? Regardless of quarterback, regardless of coach, they seem to find new ways to lose in the worst possible scenarios, and they did it again in the playoffs. So what might convince you that they have or can turn a corner?
Yeah, you're not wrong. You know, I think one of the biggest things was, you know, Austin Eckler was unhappy there, and they did everything they could to hold on to him. I think that was a very, very important move. They addressed some other issues. Obviously, they have a new offensive coordinator in place, Kellen Moore. I think they believe is a guy that can help them not have the kind of collapse that you saw in that wild card game to the Jaguars. Credit to the Jaguars, though. That was, you know, a great comeback in what they did. But I think they're hoping Kellen Moore can do wonders for Justin Herbert, the same as he did for Dak Prescott in Dallas. And mm-hmm. So for them, I think that is the big move. It wasn't even necessarily people on the field. I think it's getting the right coaches and pieces around Justin Herbert to make him as successful as he possibly can be. And I think they really believe Kellen Moore is that guy. But, you know, if they had lost Austin Eckler, if he was unhappy and they traded him or got rid of him, I think that would be terrible for this Chargers team. So to keep them, keep kind of the core intact, and get Justin Herbert some help, both on the offensive line and also in the coaching booth, I think is what's going to pay dividends for this Chargers team. Unfortunately, they just happen to be in a division with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So, that's the tough thing for them, is they got to have to beat that team.
I'm just throwing this at you before I let you go. What's your reaction to what's happening with the Pac-12, considering that you're in LA? We know UCLA and USC are leaving, but now it seems like the whole entire conference may break up. I mean, do you have a reaction to that?
We were talking about how the NFC West just completely dropped off here after the All-Star break. That Pac-12 dissolved faster than that. And
right.
So, you know, my initial reaction was there needed to be something happening once USC and UCLA left. The Pac-12 did everything they can, including suing UCLA to try to, and the boosters and other people were suing UCLA to try to get them to stay. Once that was resolved in the courts and UCLA was free to join the Big Ten with USC, I think that the Pac-12 dragged their feet. Obviously, they brought in a new commissioner. He was trying to negotiate this TV deal. But to not have that in stone, to not have a backup plan. I know they tried to add San Diego State, and then that fell apart at the last second, and now that looks like a bad move. I mean, I'm not surprised now knowing what happened, but I think the Pac-12 and the new Pac-12 commissioner completely bungled this, because once UCLA and USC left and you had plenty of time to go get their replacements and then go get a TV deal and keep everybody else intact. There were rumors that some of these teams like Oregon and Washington would be interested in leaving, but they didn't entertain it until way after the season, until it just, this TV deal was what everything fell apart. My sources told me they went into the meeting trying to talk about streaming and how Apple could come into play, and it was all based on subscriptions and people buying this Pac-12 package. It wasn't like what the other conferences were offering, which is, you know, here's our own network, or here's ESPN and Fox Sports coming, and here's all the money on the table. It was a lot of what ifs and hypotheticals, and based on subscription models and things for what those schools were going to get paid. And once they saw that, they all bolted as fast as they could. And I just feel bad for the remaining four or five teams that are still there, because I don't know what happens now moving forward with this division. Either they get up to eight teams and they stick with eight for 2024. And beyond, or that just completely dissolves and the other local conferences absorb them. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it too, but the days of the Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever you want to call it, it might be gone forever now.
Right. Although I do think that there are some mid-major conferences that would be interested in joining the Pac-12. It may seem awkward, an awkward union at first, but still there could be some kind of emergency measures that are taken to try to spare the conference. I agree with you about them screwing up the TV deal, especially when you look around. It's just crazy how the rich have gotten richer. And even with the expanded college football playoff supposed to be including more conferences and opening it up for more teams, especially west of the Mississippi, what it feels like is the rich are getting richer and college football is actually shrinking in terms of the contenders, not expanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I saw this online at one point saying that eventually they could see something similar to the NFL model, where there's an AFC and an NFC, where it's SEC and Big Ten, or it's a southern and northern kind of hemisphere thing for the conferences, that eventually it just becomes maybe two big super conferences down the road, to try to make it a little bit easier for exactly what you're talking about, because they expanded the college football playoffs to have a champion from each conference, you know, represented in the playoff, and now all the big teams are going to be in two or three conferences. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, but I could see 5, 6, 7 years down the road, just having two or three conferences and that's it.
Ooh, I very much value your wisdom and your insight, but let's hope that you are dead wrong about that. I hope that you are. But you're right. Anything's possible with college football, especially considering the money that's involved. Okay, you can find Michael on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte, D-U-A-R-T-E, from NBC LA. But we really invite him in as a friend. We let him take off his shoes, put his feet up, raid the fridge, whatever he wants to do. It's good to talk to you, and we will talk again soon. Don't forget to send me the specs on the microphone.
I will. And speaking of like being friends and family, I saw you paid your car off. Congratulations. That is a huge success. I remember when I first did that and I got that pink slip in the mail. It was an unbelievable feeling. So good accomplishment for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. All right, Mike, we'll talk again soon.
Bye.
See, this is what I love about Mike. He cares about us as people, not just as an outlet for LA sports. And in this case, of course, the Dodgers winning 9 straight. One of the streakers that we're talking about on The Hump Show. We've asked you the same question we just posed to Mike. Fill in the blank. The season, and you can insert whatever team you like, the season will be a success if what? Or if you like, you could say our season will be a success if what? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything while you're at it, because it is The Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Amy, what's going on, girl? Here you are, a woman holding her own in a still male-dominated profession. You're really holding your own.
Hi, Amy.
What up?
I like to think of you as my sister from another mister.
Ray is listening in Toronto.
First off, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I listen to you all the time. And
thank you.
You've got a lot of fans up here north of the border. You're doing a great job down there.
Can I get a boom, baby?
Boom, baby!
Thank you so much. You're adorable. You make my nights wonderful. I appreciate you so much.
Hey, Lou, you rock the show.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You do not want to see me dance the night away. It's better if I just talk you through the process. You don't need to see me dancing. I'll make a fool of myself every now and then and sing at the top of my lungs here on After Hours. For instance, when I want a hippopotamus for Christmas, or when we're singing one of my favorite songs to sing on the radio, which is the one that you're supposed to sing off key. Jay, do you know which one I'm talking about?
I think I do.
Do you want to try? Do you want me to try? Do you go? Or want me to go? Do you want to go?
Who
should talk? Do you want to talk or should I talk?
Let me tell you a story about a girl I know.
That's one you're supposed to sing off key. Now and then I'll belt out some Eddie Money just for fun.
The best.
Yeah. Huey Lewis in the news. I'll do a little Huey Lewis every now and then. Jay loves the 80s and 90s.
This is good stuff.
This is all right up your alley.
Belting out a little Eddie Money or some Huey Lewis in the news every now and then. You just need it sometimes. Yeah,
absolutely. And so those types of moments, I don't have any problem with. You do not want to see me dancing the night away. However, if we're talking about athletes dancing or dancing because they're streaking, we know Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers right now, they're streaking blue, but how about Lionel Messi? He is, in fact, streaking pink, just bright pink. What, Jay?
Hold on.
I did, in fact, flash you the signal. Are you unprepared?
I was for a second, but now I'm prepared.
Now what? Should we do it again? Should we retake? Did you dump it? No. This time, Jay actually leaves his mistake for all the world to hear.
It's in there.
Okay. Let's try that again. Take two. Messi, you ruined it. I mean, I was all excited about Messi being a pink streaker, and you absolutely ruined it.
Kristoff into the feet of Martinez has time to turn into Messi. Advantage play. Messi driving forward. Messi.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments, so I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I wanna see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow. How convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save up to 45% plus free installation on qualifying purchases. Up to 45% off right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From distance!
That's on Apple TV.
Messy, 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 messy.
If it's not on Apple TV, it didn't happen. Pictures or it didn't happen, right? Isn't that the social media line? If it's not on Apple TV, well, then it didn't happen. This is now, if you're keeping score at home, 6 games with 9 goals for Leo, as Tom Brady calls him. I did not call him that. Lionel Messi is toying with MLS defenders and goalkeepers. It's too easy. There are times when it's too freaking easy. Here you go with Inter Miami CF, who, by the way, if you don't remember, was the worst team in the entire sport until Messi came on board. And they've been in this League's Cup. The semifinals taking place against the Philadelphia Union in Pennsylvania. So Miami is playing all over the country. It's pink Messi fever taking over. And now they are into the final of this League's Cup. 6 games, 9 goals. Already this move by David Beckham and Inter Miami is paying dividends. Miami also clinched a spot in the 24 CONCACAF Champions Cup. They've never done that in their franchise history. The Saturday night final is in Nashville. He's on his own personal tour. Messy Miami tour. The Messy Miami tour.
I'd go to that.
I would too. I also don't mind snorting on the air as part of my laughter. It's completely biological. You should try it sometime. You laugh out through your mouth. Ha, ha, ha. You breathe in through your nose. See?
That's a good technique.
It makes perfect biological sense. You know this, right? If they win the League's Cup, Miami may spontaneously combust. And I don't mean the team. I mean the city. It's fun to watch, but I almost think it's unfair. I almost think it's unfair. It's After Hours. Although life and sports are not generally fair, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And no, Aaron Rodgers still does not glow in the dark. Fill in the blank. My team, our team, the team. Whichever one you pick. The season will be a success if what? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page.
What are you going to say?
We're just over an hour away from Ask Amy Anything, so bring it on. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We've had our talks, and I think we'll just playing it day by day and see how it goes. We've got a lot of guys. We've got a guy named Parsons out here that is going to need a little money when the time comes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerry Jones from late July, in thinking about Zach Martin and what they might do to get their top offensive lineman back into camp and ready for the upcoming season. It was a critical time, a critical juncture, and boom, lo and behold, it took a little effort on the part of first Zach and his camp and then the Jones family, but it all came together and they were all smiles on Wednesday. Sorry, Tuesday. Oh my gosh, my week is so messed up after being off Sunday night. I thought all day yesterday, today, depending upon where you are, if you're on the West Coast, it's still today. I thought all day today was Monday, but now I feel like I'm all mixed up because it's middle of the week. I digress. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Zach Martin, Mike McCarthy, the Jones family, Oxnard, California, Cowboys training camp, all smiles about having Zach back in the mix with a new deal.
It was great to get back. I mean, you know, we got the news yesterday in the offensive staff meeting. The room erupted. So there's been a lot of high fives and hugs all day and night yesterday, you know, once he got in. But yeah, I think that shows you what he means to us and what he means to our football team and, you know, I know especially offense. So, but it is business, you know, this is part of our it's part of our industry. But, you know, we're about connecting and what we need to do to win. And he's a big part of that.
I definitely had my my days during this thing, especially, you know, I had all my film and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I was watching practice every day and definitely had those moments. But, you know, kept the faith and had a good feeling that eventually we'd get to an agreement. And luckily it came when it did. And I'm happy to be out here, man. It's great to see everybody and be back with the guys.
Jerry Jones was initially in California at training camp. And Zach Martin's crew, his agents, his reps, they were trying to figure out a way to negotiate in person. But it was hard to do because Zach was not in California.
It kind of all came together when they got to come back to Dallas. And we got to spend some of that face-to-face time and kind of hammer this thing out. We reached out and, you know, some of my buddies here in the organization helped kind of get that going. And, you know, it was good to get face-to-face with him.
So the holdout is over, and you hear Zach Martin grateful, excited, ready to be back with his guys. And that certainly is the case for Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff. Again, the offensive line doesn't work as well. Really, the offense doesn't run as well for Dak Prescott or anyone else, if not for Zach on the line.
You just look the way he trains, the way he prepares. His training's top-notch. He's super consistent, humble. He pays it forward. You know, he helps the young guys. So has excellent relationships throughout the building. So, and other than that, when he puts his hand in the ground, he's really good. So, I mean, he just does everything right.
It was definitely difficult. I mean, if you had asked me a few years ago if I'd ever be a holdout guy, I would probably say no. But, you know, that's what it had to, I felt had to come down to you know, reach some of my goals that I was looking for. And luckily it worked out there.
It's good to know. It's good to know that they were able to collaborate and able to come to common ground. And this actually gives me hope about negotiations in pro sports, but specifically in the NFL, because very often teams have such leverage and have such a humongous advantage with this upper hand when it comes to teams, or when it comes to contracts and holdouts, that the players don't have many options, or they feel like they don't have many options. But Martin was willing to pay the fine. He was willing to fork over the money and bide his time until they could get this deal done. It's a reworked contract, and it now guarantees him $36 million over the next two seasons, according to the multiple reports. And that's up from what his previous deal guaranteed. In fact, it's nearly up $10 million in that money. And both years are fully guaranteed of this deal. Not the highest paid guard, even though he's an all-pro. Again, consistently one of the best players on the Cowboys when he's healthy. He's still third among guards on the NFL pay scale. So he wasn't looking to break the bank. He was looking for more guaranteed money and I guess you could say a little more security, but it doesn't. That part, because both years are fully guaranteed, there's a little bit of it there, but we're not talking about a long, long-term deal. A little extra money, the fully guaranteed aspect of it, and it makes a difference. And he was asked as well about all the money that he was fined, $50,000 per day. And it's not like the team can cancel the debt or rescind it. No, this is part of the CBA. So when you're under contract and you don't go to training camp, $50,000 per day.
I justified it to myself is that if I got this done and, you know, I would make more money than I would be losing money.
That's my favorite new laugh in sports. We need to compile a laugh track just based on nothing except athletes laughing. So good. And then we know, of course, we've got crazy Steph Curry. We've got Patrick Mahomes. <I don't- laughs> whose laughter is decidedly unique. We've got Kawhi Leonard, another one that stands out. We've so many good laughs. Mike Tomlin, obvi. There's probably plenty of guys that we've never heard laugh, but it is fun when we do hear them throw their head back and let out this big old belly chuckle. So good for Zach Martin. Really good for the Cowboys, obviously.
I guess I put the wrong one on.
Actually, even if you take off Joe Burrow's comment at the end, so people who don't know, he accidentally put on the wrong jersey last year for, what was that, press conference?
I think it was for the press conference.
No, practice, it would have been practice. Yeah, middle of the week practice. So kind of funny there. But we do enjoy it when we get to see the softer side of them, if you will. Although Aaron Rodgers, eh.
I don't think I have a laugh of him.
Oh, we must. Except that a lot of times it's snarky and sarcastic. Yeah. It's when he is clapping back at media reports.
Okay.
You don't have my number. You're not going to have my number. He finds himself funny. He does find himself very humorous. That's fine. It's a little bit too sarcastic sometimes with him.
I don't think so.
Stop it. Jay's like a mad scientist on the other side of the double pane glass. He really is. He's in there. I can see the smoke coming out of his, out of the top of his head, out of his crevices. There's smoke coming out because he's so in there, you know, concocting a new formula of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't have your
number.
You're not gonna have my number.
Exactly. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Twitter as well, After Hours CBS. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And also on our Facebook page. Some of you are responding to our question even initially, but I do love it. I mean, I tell you that if you don't identify your team, I'm not going to know which team you're talking about. Kevin just fills in the blank this way. We're asking you to fill in the blank. The season will be a success if, and he just writes Super Bowl. Well, how am I supposed to know which team that is? Any team? But that's not realistic for a lot of teams. Super Bowl is not realistic. Now, I know anything can and will happen in sports, and there are surprises every year, but how am I supposed to know which team you're talking about? So we are getting some responses, though, like this one from a frequent follower and engager on social media. The season will be a success if we get rid of Dak Prescott. All right.
Yeah, I saw that one.
That's not happening. Let's see. Lee weighs in. The Dolphins season will be a success if they win a playoff game. So that's where he's putting the bar. Setting the bar relatively low. They were above 500 last year with Mike McDaniel. They had 15 different starting quarterbacks is what it felt like. I would say the Dolphins season will be a success if Tua starts all 17 games. That's what I would say. Lawrence on Twitter. The Niners season will be a success if they have a healthy, decent QB and Nick Bosa is ready to go week number one. So fill in the blank on Twitter or Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.